It's time for Advice Line. Call now at 800-866-8883. That's 800-866-8883. Here's your host, Roy Masters.
Ah, yes. Ladies and gentlemen, juveniles and crocodiles, I have some serious business with you this evening and every evening, and this is my 51st year. And I like to remind you that I am, please God, doing a seminar in Las Vegas. I'll tell you about that later. We are now a third full, but that's unusual because it's very expensive. We're trying to raise some money. But there are those who've given extra money for those who can't afford it. So we have a pool for those who will call and ask for help. And if you're too proud to ask, then you go without. But I'm just saying the offering's there. But we have another idea. I'll tell you about that. So you can put a down payment on the seminar, a smaller one, and you'll get a receipt. And it'll be a ticket. It'll just be a partly paid ticket. When you come in, you give a check for the rest. And I thought we'd have a full house easily because I haven't been public for 10 years at least. And for good reason. I won't give you the reason right now, but most of you know. But new people, it doesn't matter. All you care, all the new people who listen to the program should care about right now is how can I help them? Because that's what the program's about. That's what my seminars are about. That's what my seminars the Oregon retreat is all about. The CDs we make for the military is all about helping them to overcome post-traumatic stress disorder. And if we can do that for the military very successfully, astoundingly successful, the chaplains can hardly believe their eyes, and the government, the big wings, as I can tell you, they're absolutely astounded that it can be done. They thought it couldn't be. But if we can do it for them, think of what we could do for you for practically nothing or nothing. So we're a non-profit 501c3 church, but we are catch and release because it's not good to hold someone close to you, to make them depend upon getting, welfare. But welfare can come in form of religious services as well as money. You know, you just get a little bit of lift every week and you get a little insight. I want to give it to you all at once. That's real. That's what Jesus was able to do. He gave it all at once. But then people weren't on drugs. They didn't have enough money to buy any drugs. A lot of you are all doped up one way or the other. So it's hard to get through to you. And besides, you're not as hungry for truth as a modern person. I think the good book says something. In the last days, men shall become lovers of pleasure more than the lovers of God, high-minded, prideful, etc., etc., and haters of those who are good. Well, they've always been haters of those who are good. I mean, you could just see what the Roman Empire did to the early Christians. I mean, threw them to the lions. You can see what fascism under Hitler and communism under Stalin. You can see how 100 million people died from their own government. The horror of the concentration camps. You can see it's there, but the horror is all around us in America now. And so you must have had experience with it. In the form of intimidation and cruel, unnecessary pressure. Have you ever come home or experienced the hell of having your own child come home different, changed in some way from away-from-home experience? And have you suffered the endless frustrations in your attempts to set them straight? A lot of people have. But if that's the case, and if you had been married and you woke up one morning and the girl of your dreams is a nightmare of screams and your husband likewise, you'd better pay attention to what I'm about to take up with you. And if you'd like to call, I'm not going to give you the phone numbers because it's just a waste of time. I'll have the announcer in the break itself. It's all included in the phone number. Please call 800. Oh, I said I wasn't going to do it. But call my office. In case you want to, make reservations for the seminar, coming up on the 25th of April in Las Vegas, in the Alexis Hotel. And I won't give you any more on that because it takes too much time off the program, or I have to want to help you and speak to people that call. You'll get the phone number, listen carefully, and we'll be right back.
The foundation of human understanding teaches an observation exercise, often called meditation, which permits you to become objective toward your problems and allows your heartaches, bad habits, fears, and anxieties to be completely eliminated from your life without effort on your part. Until you have begun to practice this exercise, much of what you see and hear on the following program may be shocking and upsetting to you. But if you will listen calmly and with an open mind, you may discover the key to the peace of mind and joy for which you've been searching all of your life. And now, from the foundation of human understanding, here is Roy Masters.
Well, by Jove, here I am again. The personal problem you have with your child coming home different because of some experience of peer pressure, whether it's school or bullies, or whatever, because you see the climate in America is becoming brutal. And I spoke to you about that many, many times, and you new listeners, please pay attention. The climate in America is dog-eat-dog. You've used that word, but not fully understanding, not truly being cognizant of its horrendous, overarching reason. This is a program that will put you as a collective, meaning each individual has the same problem as another individual, except it may express itself in a slightly different way. But the common medium is as follows: weak before the strong, strong before the weak. That's simple. Now, what force of cruelty or bribery it might take to be strong and to demoralize someone and make them doubt themselves, confuse them, upset them, irritate them, upset them, annoy them, aggravate them, anything. But you do that compulsively. And I have people that work for me who are, I have the best people under the sun working for me. But each one, most of them, will do a little thing that they should be fired for. But the point is, if I did that, I wouldn't have anybody working for me at all, because there's no one perfect. So I take the opportunity to suffer the little betrayals, and some of them are serious. But these are good people and do not see themselves doing it, no matter how long they've known me. For some people, the journey back to reality is slow, and for some people, it's very quick. I don't know why, but the more brilliant a person is, the more difficult it is to bring them back to reality. Because there's something about being very brilliant and good at something that garners a lot of praise and respect. A lot of respectability. And with an affable personality, which is usually weak, not always, because you can use your affable personality to manipulate others. And to intimidate people into submission. No, but where the person has a lot of intelligence and very skillful, they may never know they have a dark force. Never understand it at all, never see why their home life is a shambles. Why their, you know, not their home life where they came from as, you know, mother and father, but they bring it into their marriage, and it multiplies there. And they don't understand why their children are sick and have problems and difficult and grow up arrogant or stupid or drunk or blow their brains out. But the point is, everybody has this proclivity, and you can't find a soul that will hardly a soul that will not betray you, hurt you, knock you down to build themselves up, and lie to you and not see they're lying. Now, there was a time when the world was a better place. I lived at that time. But I've been in America more than 60 years, and I see it today as a very dangerous place to live in, and with a collective of, just as I described, weak before the strong, strong before the weak. So looking for love in all the wrong places, are you? How comes you're looking for love in all the wrong places? How do you get stuck with someone you love and it turns out that they're screwing you? Or your mind and your body and robbing you blind and making your condition worse. And you try to get them to see it only to be more frustrated for being unable to because they protest. There's something wrong with you for seeing something wrong with them. Now you have a leader, the president himself, who is now the head of the system. That's why I'm saying your time is up. And unless you understand what I am telling you, unless you grow out of this and see how difficult it, I don't expect it. What I'm saying is, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. If there's anybody on earth that understands what has to be done to save America, it's me. And I'm saying it. I don't know anybody else who knows exactly what I know and exactly how to cure it. And if I had enough people to awaken, if I can awaken you to that. Now, you many of you think to yourself, well, I'm awake, I'm not asleep. That's not true. I told you before, and you heard me speak about this on the Sunday morning talk. I've been married 58 years. My wife still doesn't see what like that for 58 years. I can make her do what she needs to do. I don't take pleasure in that. But, you know, the kids have to have dinner, so therefore I'm not going to let her get away with not making dinner, that sort of thing. I'll see to it, and I do it in a special way. It's my secret. I'm also a professional hypnotist, so if I can't awaken you, I shall exploit the fact in a good way that you do what's necessary. Not for my pleasure, but just because it's right. So the right thing will come from her, as if it was from her and not from me. I want you to know that's what hypnosis is. If you're going to attend the seminar on April the 25th, please God, you're going to see exactly that. I'm going to do a lot of healing there. I don't do the healing. I'm just the instrument of it. But I do a lot of the hypnosis, and I can show you. I can act the role of Obama or another programming individual, and show you that the person who has been mesmerized does not know they are. They've been mesmerized all their life and do not know that they are. They just are troubled and inferior, and they feel guilty, and they function. And some function well, some function not well. But whatever it is, I can take over what somebody else has done and play the role. So they're weak before the strong, and so I'm strong. And bingo. I tell them to take their shoes off, and I tell them before they come up to the stage. There will be a stage there. But I've got to show it to you. If I did it to the whole audience, you wouldn't see it. If I did it to the whole audience, where's the demonstration? You wouldn't be able to see it. To wit. I almost said to woo. To wit, to woo. Anyway. I say, before you come up, this is what I'm going to tell you, what you're going to do. I'm going to make you change your shoes around on the wrong feet. Make it simple. Don't want to hurt anybody, make a fool of anybody. And so, and you see, they make excuses. They won't see it, think it's me. And up they come. And how long do you think it takes to produce hypnotic states? A few seconds. A minute or two, maybe longer. As a matter of fact, it was already done before they came up. They didn't know it. So I just, but I go to the migram or like, see, they sit in a chair with their eyes closed, and you know, you can talk to them and they can't open their eyes and stuff like that. But here's the thing. And I said, open your eyes and I'm going to play with my tie and it's going to irritate you and you're going to take your shoes off and put them on different feet. And that's what they do. And when you ask them, were you hypnotized? I don't know. Did you feel any different? No. Why did you change your shoes? I feel uncomfortable that way. I thought I'd give it a try to change it. Immediately they start making excuses, and as much as you try to make them see that I read, do you remember me telling you that I was going to make you do that, but when you come up here, and that you wouldn't be able to stop it, and you make excuses? Yeah. Well then, why, and then, don't you see I made you do it? Well, maybe, but they were uncomfortable, see. And everybody laughs. I said, don't laugh, it isn't funny. Because there are millions of Americans like that now under the control of government. In Obama's bill, there's money put aside for 6,000 military people, private army. And they will be drawn from the worst of human nature to demoralize you, to intimidate you into submission, and it will work. It will only take a small army to, if you do it strategically, to take over the whole country. Because you don't know how to react. And reaction is, and any reaction you have to stress deepens your hypnotic state. And if you rebel, you do not rebel creatively. I can rebel creatively. You can't. When you get upset and you rebel, you run from one thing, situation, or you suppress it. But still, when you suppress it, you don't speak up. When you don't speak up, the other person has their way. And so now you die from, you start to get cancer and bipolar, bishmola, whatever the illness is, there's millions of them, thousands, I should say. And then you go to a doctor, and now you become dependent on legal medicine, legal cure for your illness, but it's hypnotic state. Your cure is hypnotic because you trust your doctor and you trust the medicine, and it does work. It makes you feel better, but it could be a placebo who do the same thing. And just recently they find out that the effect is if I hypnotize you and say your pain goes away, either you will tell me the pain goes away and it doesn't, but everybody says, oh, it's marvelous, or it goes away. And because you've taken your attention away from it, and your disease starts to get better, only because you're not making it worse by a perverse fixation to it. Because a lot of you have a disease caused by emotion or in a way of life, and you start to get very sick very quickly when you find out you've got cancer, and it multiplies very quick. So if you do some of those imaginary experiments or take some pills. It doesn't have to be cancer, but it could be something much simpler than cancer, somewhere before you get it. Because that's a kind of an ultimate thing. But you can relieve the problem of an illness and actually feel like you're really getting better, when really all it's done is taken your mind, your belief, your faith in the doctor, and the fact that it has an effect. In other words, has a real effect of making you feel better. Gives you the idea that this is a good remedy and you're okay. But the trouble is, you're not. You live longer and become longer, and you have another. Your symptoms get worse. But then you need stronger medicine, and so a whole nation. That's why they want control of the healthcare, because they're going to control you through medicine. Because every person in the country is. I've never seen it so bad as I've seen it recently. Everybody is sick in some way or another, mentally, emotionally, and physically. And if you have the main member of the family who dominates the family, if you can have that person unbalanced, and usually the person who is in control of the family, who is the obsequious dummy or the tyrant, that person owns the whole family. But he also has the character of the powers that set it in motion, represented by President Obama and his Marxist team. And it's all been done through the schools over the years, and you all let that happen. And now they're sending the children who've been lobotomized and demoralized and programmed, if you like. There's another word for it, not programmed, indoctrinated, I was looking for that word. Now they're going to go home and get their children to talk to their parents and encourage their kids to give the gift of education to their parents because they don't know, they're not enlightened by their indoctrination, but they don't know it's indoctrination, you see. You go to school and you're under pressure all these years, you're indoctrinated, and it's very, very hard for a parent to have a child come home from school on drugs or being indoctrinated and know how to deal with the strange behavior. And he really thinks he's trying to help his parents, and the parents rebel, and then they got problems. So you're going to have the kids turning against it. I've told you before, you're going to have your children turning against their parents, and that's all predicted in your Bible. But if we can return the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the children's fathers to the hearts of the children, and the children's heart to the fathers, there will be redemption of the country. But that's because the last three generations, the hearts of the fathers have been turned away to the mothers. So that the forces that were once the phantom forces are now in charge, have created a problem. Over the years, took 60, 50, 60 years to accomplish. And now they have control over everybody. And there's a lot of people are going to stand up and rebel, and we wave flags and wave some tea bags. It ain't good enough. Because just look at one thing. Nobody talks about the fact that this man is not qualified to be the president because he hasn't shown his birth certificate. That's a problem. I can't drive a car without a driver's license. They put me in jail. It's a requirement to be a president. Guess what? They just ignore it. He has his minions in the media. They're stronger than talk radio and Fox put together. Because you got comedians to make jokes of it and make it look, you know, unimportant. And carry you away with music and laughter and drama and God knows what. And then you got your own solace in drugs and, you know what, pornography, gambling. You can gamble away. You can anesthetize your brain, lobotomize yourself, because you don't know how to deal with the stress of life, which is hypnotic. But then, you see, you are now the collective, the Borg. You do not know it, that if what one thinks, Obama, all think. Now, a lot of people will intellectually complain and have wonderful debates over it, but that won't cure anything. It's called the time for a wake-up. And waking up is power. I had a gentleman from Camden, New Jersey. I believe he listens to a station right near Camden, New Jersey, which is, you know, a black American society that is not very healthy, not a good place to live. And it was from Philadelphia. I've been on that station for 30 years. And he said, I was talking about power, real power, how objective it makes you and how you can see clearly and you don't make mistakes when you see clearly. Like a fog, you don't know where you're going. I was in a fog so bad in London when I was a boy. I was standing in front of my house and couldn't find it. So when your brain is in a fog, what do you expect? And your brain is kept in a fog by being upset. And so being upset has a purpose. It's to mesmerize you, to frustrate you by signing bills that nobody read is to frustrate you. These are all frustrations. I can mention so many. So it there's not necessarily much any suggestion put in there, but all of a sudden, the head vampire becomes authority, and that will transmit into a cause and effect. He's the cause means he is inconsiderate, dumb, but not dumb as a fox. But does everything wrong to tear down the country? And you know damn well that's happening. But then you get all upset about it, and then you take where do you do the upset? You will take it out on your children. You'll take, well, now I'll tell you, kick in what this man said. And he says, I was watching Obama on the radio, on TV, and when I heard you talk about being objective, I tried it. I watched him in my usual way. Then I did it the way you showed me, by becoming objective. And the usual way, he was very interesting. A nice personality. Seems like he was saying a lot of good things. But when I stood back from my thoughts, I could see what he was really saying. Oh, my God. It's a black American. You black Americans, and you are really Americans. You've been mesmerized. You have lived in a ghetto, and these ghettos are always run by people who call themselves Democrats. They're actually Marxists. They always have been. And every ghetto in the country is run by crooks. Crooks in the government. You always have crooks as government. And the government overlooks the fact that there's gangs in that area. And they encourage illiteracy. They encourage you to be broken, because you cannot conquer a noble people. You cannot. It's a plantation. Every inner city is a plantation. It's a plantation of welfare. Rob Peter, us pay Paul, and you pay people to stay poor. You give them money, you demoralize them, you degrade them, and you make them dependent. And they're angry and frustrated, and the frustration has to go somewhere and says, white folks, it's America. Damn America. See, you know, Reverend Wright? Damn America. Now, Mr. President, would you do me a favor and be a good chap and go to Reverend Wright. I should call him Reverend Wrong. Say, look, you baptized our baby. You married us. How do you expect me to rule when you have made yourself popular? You made yourself obvious that you are, you know, a socialist or something. And how do you think people are going to look at me? But I told you, hypnotized people do not see that they're hypnotized. And so you can make them think that Reverend Ron can make you think everything he's saying is right about America. And therefore, you've got lots of people who believe America is bad, especially the black Americans, because they are particularly sensitive because they're brought up in neighborhoods where people are demoralized by Democrats. And that's not surprising about Democrats, because we fought a civil war. And I think the Republicans, white folk, fought a war, and of course black Americans also fought alongside them to the degree that they could. And brother was killing brother. White man was killing white man, because they wanted to free you, black Americans, everyone, from slavery. And so there came an opportunity where it had to be done. There was a time when you couldn't. But then there was a time when you could. Timing is everything. So if you say that Jefferson had slaves, okay, but couldn't help but he treated them well. I mean, I could call my people work for me slaves, but they're not. It's honor. See? And I treat them well, and they treat me as well as they can. So now you see, you're living in a plantation. Now the white boys are beginning to... It's becoming so rampant. Terror is in the schools. Terror is in the streets. Terror is on television. And slowly, but surely, we do not realize that we are the Borg. We all are sick in the same way. Strong before the weak. Weak before the strong. And the power goes all the way up to the White House, and the instructions of how we should behave and what our future shall be will be transmitted all the way down. And some of us will agree with that, and some of us will complain, but we'll be put down by our own wives and our own husbands, even our own children. There's a way out of this, but you don't want to know, do you? Okay, we've read that. Okay, now, you want to see these things happen? Do you want to be... Look, I'll tell you about my seminar, Please God, the 25th of April at the Alexis Hotel in Las Vegas. It's Sunday morning at 9 o'clock. And we have 100 people paid up full and enough money to give people free tickets or reduced price tickets because they were gracious enough to give extra. It is fundraising. And I haven't given a talk for many years, although you can see many of my talks and my seminars on video by going to the website, FHU.com. The new one's going up in the next day or so. Brand new is easy to follow. But now, a lot of you don't like to plan that much in advance, but people have. One-third of the audience has planned and ahead $150 fundraising. But they've given money so that those who can't afford it, who are sick and need help, can. All right? Now, some of you don't plan that ahead, but I wanted you to be sure that you get a ticket. So if you want to put $50 towards a ticket, we'll send you the ticket, and we'll say, ticket, and it'll say $50, and it's going to be, you know, a balance 100. Or whatever you want to do, 25, I don't care. And that way you won't lose much if things change. Is that fair? Call my office tomorrow. All right, and then what else? Well, let's see. Do we have time to play some other commercials? Play one, and then that's what I wanted to say. And just make sure you get the copy of the CD, Be Still and Know, and book called How Your Mind Can Keep You Well, and we'll be in business.
Are you one of the millions of people that suffers with anxiety? If you want to be free, you have to ask yourself why and then accept the truth that will set you free.
I've noticed is it's not really resentment that I seem to be recovering from. It's anxiety. It seems like whenever the subject of either fear, anxiety, worry come up, the conversation turns to resentment. So through this observation exercise and through being just, you know, really being willing to walk through the fire, I've been seeing some stuff that's really uncomfortable, like that feeling in the solar plexus, that tingling, uncomfortable feeling. I used to cover that feeling up through, you know, smoking cigarettes, the adrenaline that came through sex. So if I felt that fear feeling, I'd turn it into adrenaline and try to take control. Now I see what he was talking about. Something to the effect of you become subject to your will. There are times when I'll wake up in the morning and I'll realize that I've been dreaming for the last 2 hours and I'm sitting here having dreams I don't want to have. And I mean, I'm talking about compelling dreams that I would normally, if I was awake, I would be feeling compelled to act on. Things that are destructive ideas. I think what it is that temptation pops up, and the moment that you actually act on it, you've just fed it, thinking that, oh, if I just give in to it, it'll go away. You end up being subject to it. That is what I think you're referring to.
So the question is, how do you stop the endless loop of thinking that compels you to do the things you don't want to do, to have the fears you don't want to have? It's simple. Visit FHU.com. That's FHU.com. And download Be Still and Know. It will neutralize the thoughts that come through your mind. Visit FHU.com.
What's on your mind? Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
Oh, by Jove, here we are again. Well, we're going to take Larry from New York. I don't think anybody appreciated what I just said, because you're going to have to admit the truth that you're a zombie and that every one of your symptoms, which is less than health. And I'm not saying I'm in perfect health, but because I'm 82 years old and I went through a lot of hell, I don't know how I survived, but I managed. And if I live long enough, I should write the book. But I've got something right now that's difficult. But I'm managing it. I'm even going to give a seminar, so it doesn't make any difference. It's going to be on my last one way or the other. The thing is, I don't get tired of doing what I'm doing. I love my God, my country. I love my family, and I'd like to see all of you. This wonderful country, hard fought for, I don't want to see it sort of stolen, like taking candies from babies, because that's what it's done. And right now it's a stage where there's not much you can do about it, because you're too feeble. As a nation, you're too feeble. You're too at the mercy of too many people who are so zombieized that you don't know how to deal with them. The more you argue with them, the more frustrated you get. I can show you how you can cut them in two. They're listening to this program, you see. Have you ever heard anybody that calls to disagree? Never in 50 years. They'll talk about me. You know, not one time in 50 years. They'll talk about me and nudge somebody in the side and say, yeah, that guy's crazy, but they won't call me. They won't show me where I am because they're afraid that if they do, I will show them where they're crazy. Get a Mickey Mouse call once in a while. Anyway, let's take our calls right now. All right. What was that noise in the background? Oh, my caller. All right. Larry. Oh, you're having fits in the background. How are you doing? That's all right.
I'm pretty good. I've got your book, The Adam and Eve Syndrome. I've been reading it, and it really makes sense.
But you need a CD. You got to have a CD. You got to have the CD, Be Still and Know. You really need that.
No, I have the.
Okay, good.
But this area of lust, I mean, I'm just, you know, I'm saving myself, well, let me stay away from the woman because I'm just using them.
No, they're out using you. See, every woman on earth, and, you know, I took my daughter, she'll be on tomorrow. I'm going to have my daughter do a program. She's a woman, and you don't want to mess with her. Nobody wants to. But point is, she's a very clear-thinking young lady, and she has a happy family. And so I'm going to let her do a program just for the fun of it, and I'm going to take it easy. But she knows it. She knows about her twisted sisters, and it's not their faults. Every woman born with a side of her that has contempt for the hierarchy of men. And it gets worse when their fathers fail their mothers to extract that inherent wickedness, inherent manipulativeness, inherent power over men from the day they're born, so that men are like mechanical machines, like hypnotized zombies returning to the scene of the crime, as if coming to the scene of the crime of their birth, going back to the same place they came from, so to speak. Of course, they can't fit completely inside, but just only a little part of them, if you know what I mean. But you think that's love. No, it's not. And so you get a sensation that it is, but that love is a lie. It's sex, stupid, but it can be done with love. But because we're humans, how can I say this? Human beings can be contaminated in two ways. Now, animals cannot be contaminated. So if the dog whisperer knows his job, he can make any dog do anything and the elephant trainer do anything he wants. And that's a big elephant and a small man. And that's not unusual for an elephant because it's used to having a pack leader. And so if this little tiny thing on top of the elephant is the pack leader, so be it. And there's no guilt. But the minute you become infected by stress, there was an original one, an original doubt, original sin. Adam doubted what he knew was right. As a matter of fact, if you upset somebody, you make a person doubt himself, you know, his own common sense, that is, he immediately becomes suggestible and the door to his psyche flies open and you can clutter up his consciousness with all manner of nonsense. But with Adam, he became focused on Eve, and then he saw he was naked, and the first sin, separation from God, the first doubt, that's Eve's serpent. Eve talks to Adam and says, look, I ate the fruit, I didn't die. God lies, basically. So he ate the fruit himself, and then something happens. It's like stealing a dollar from your father's bedside, and something says to you, take that dollar, you know, you need that toy. And he won't know. And I won't say. Could be a little boy, but he's just coming whisper to your voice, in your ear. And you take the money, and then the father knows it. So, did you take the money, son? No, Johnny made me do it. And some excuse. And the excuse covers the fact that another force is at work. This voice has come down through the centuries through women. Every woman is a betrayer. There's not one born that isn't, except they have a good father or good husband to free them from it. But he must be freed from the women himself. You are addicted. You are cursed to go ever, like every man that ever lived. Even in marriage, it's not kosher. Marriage is not even kosher, although the preacher will say, ah, the marriage bed's sanctified. Bullcucky. What does he know? He's a mesmerized teacher, rabbi, imam, edad, email. It could be anything. But they're all taught something, and the teaching is tantamount. The teaching of one denomination as compared with another is another hypnotic state, and a hypnotist who doesn't even know he's a hypnotist and starts to encourage people to be pigs with each other. It's not true that the marriage bed is not defiled. It's the place where people can learn about you get married and you think you're going to go to happiness and paradise, and it always turns out to be hell. And it's hell because men are drug addicts. They're addicted to the female because the female always has her way. Even when she's being beaten down by her boyfriend or husband, degraded, she will keep submitting to him and in her mind destroy him and can't help herself. She cannot help herself because she does not know how not to give herself and to think of it as love and have a bigger reason to hate the swine and bigger reason to judge him and feel superior to him in all of her martyrdom. It's like martyrdom. She's creating hell. She's raising hell. This man is becoming, instead of a man, he's a beast, and she's judging him, and she's happy with that. See? So that's how deadly it becomes. So you have actually, in your lack of wisdom, in your lack of training, in having given up the culture that was halfway decent, it wasn't all the way decent, otherwise it wouldn't have slid. But because we all have that weakness, but if you had been saved, if you've been a Christian and you had really been saved, then you could be married, because then you would be for God only, and then she couldn't tempt you, you wouldn't use her. She could tempt you and say, you know, it's modern. You know, what's wrong with you? Nothing wrong with me. I know this is not right. We have to wait till we're married. And we're going to wait a couple of years, because I don't know, whether you really love me yet. Now, I'm not saying I'm speaking out loud. It is something inside that every man should do with a woman, not jump into bed because, oh, this woman makes me feel good, therefore she must love me. It's not true. Obama speaks, therefore it must be truth. No, not true. Oh, she promised, or he promised. No, it doesn't mean a thing. Pressure, selfishness, programming through the generation rules. It rules. And women basically cannot help themselves. They cannot help themselves. I've been married 58 years. And you cannot make a woman see the truth. You can't force them. I've learned to live with the situation and survive it. And she will do as she's told, even though begrudgingly full of judgment and all the rest of it. I've learned to use the judgment to get her to do the right thing, even though she doesn't want to do it. Whatever she does to create a disturbance in order to make me look like a bad person, no, she feels uncomfortable because it backfires on her, and I'm able to turn it on her and make her do the good thing. Instead of making me a bad person and making me look bad and go crazy and blow my brains out, I stay calm, I hold this, and after the while, I have the influence over the children, and eventually, maybe before, a week before she dies, she might see the truth of what I'm saying, like the good thief on the cross. He was dying, there was one good thief on the cross, and the other one was a bad thief, but the good thief never had an opportunity. My wife has the opportunity to understand it, because I talk about it every day. I say, Anne, look at it. Look what you just said. Watch. She can't see it. She honestly cannot see it, and therefore judges me for bringing it to attention, because she does not see what she's doing. But a good behavior is implanted by me. And I tell her, but she can't see it. But you say, you know I'm a good hypnotist, Anne. She says, don't you see what you're doing? Aren't you judging me? Don't you see how vulnerable that you are to me, because you can't move me? You're judging me. You want me to become like your father, so you go on hating him, because he was a philanderer. He had women. You caught him in bed with women, and so he bought you off with nice things. So you want me to make you the princess? I know the whole story. She knows all that, but she cannot see the programming. And you are programmed. You are programmed to go back to the woman to look for love. Well, you're never going to find it there. All you're going to do is find hell. And she's going to hate you for it. Now, my wife hates me for being strong. And I never let her have her way, ever. Ever. I mean a willful way. I know the difference between right and wrong, willful and not willful. But there's always a part of her that always wants to overwhelm me and to make me look bad and to pressure me into so many ways and so many, yeah, I know, and all of to ignore me like Obama ignores everybody and does what she wants anyway. But in order to irritate to submission, there's never any submission. And then she would say, every now and then she'd have a glimpse, if it wasn't for you, I don't know where I'd be. But then she goes right back doing it again. See that? But the kids are strong. Because the kids needed to see that I am a man and me for God only, and she for the God in him, but she's not ready yet. So I will stay with her as long as she stays with me until she awakens or dies. See? And that's what you need to... But I'm free man. And if I'd had that sex, if she was a wonderful woman, I'd be so happy I wouldn't be able to write any thesis. We'll be right back. I haven't finished with the caller yet. But I had to give a background. Ladies and gentlemen, I have to give a background. And the background is all men. And the background is all women. And in the minute you have a woman, she has you, and that's the end of it. And the minute you have her and get too much pleasure out of it, like as if you found nirvana, you're dead. The minute you say, oh, I love you, in that moment of emotion, you're a dead person. It only takes one. You return to the scene of the crime. Adam saw he was naked, felt uncomfortable, and then he saw he was naked. What did he see? That sin, all sin is sensual. So you're going to get upset, you get sensual. If you want to get your wife to have sex with you, or husband to have sex, seduce him, and if seduction doesn't work, make him angry. And it will awaken the sexual feeling. When you start to argue with your wife, you get an erection. Just to argue, just start arguing. Just that very thing, like dogs. And so I tell you that there's so many things you don't know about yourself, all hush-hush. Even Obama doesn't want to know. He doesn't know about it. He doesn't want to know it because he's got the same problem himself. His wife controls him. And she's like Angela Lansbury in the Manchurian Candidate. He gets his instructions through her and from her, I don't know, people behind them, lots of people behind the robbing of the treasures of America. All right. But you don't want to hear what I have to say, do you? Okay. And you, but I'll just say, you want me to help the country? Send me some money. Stop giving it to your pushers or your spoiled brats. Give it to me. Give it to the foundation, and I'll go somewhere. But right now, it doesn't look. Look what I have to do. I have to give a seminar to make money to stay on the air. And I'm not that strong right now. But I'm, in my head, I'm strong. My body is not strong. I'm 82, and I've had problems for a long time, but I've solved all of them. This one is, I'll tell you about it when you come to the seminar. I'll explain it to you, not now. All right, we'll be right back.
Comes that mighty mouse, coming to vanquish the foe with a mighty blow. So don't be afraid anymore, 'cause things won't be like they've been before. Here I come to save the day, vanquish this mighty mouse.
What's on your mind? Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
Hey, Larry, do you trust me?
Yeah, my dilemma seems to be, how do I get this?
No, I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you. You've got to trust me.
How do I get it off of me?
I'm going to tell you. Do you trust me?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to tell you something you need to believe. Not because I said so, because you can see it. Women cannot love you. They cannot complete you. They cannot. They cannot make you a man. To make you feel like a man is a mirage. It's an illusion. And it's accompanied by pain. It's a the emotional state, the excessive emotional state. Well, eating's the same way. You can eat to live or live to eat. You can be perverted in everything. Animals, you never see a fat duck, you never see a fat deer. You don't see animals and gluttonous animals, they couldn't get off the ground and they couldn't run. They'd all be eaten up, all slim and trim. Only eat what they're supposed to, and when they're satisfied, they walk away. When they drink enough, they walk away. Human beings, what do we do with our natural instincts? We can't have enough of that wonderful stuff, and we die. We die from diabetes and God knows what. We actually die from too much sex. You can actually die from not enough sex because you're tormented by it. See, you can start to resent the woman or fantasy her in your imagination and play with the idea till it arouses you and lose yourself in the pleasure you can arouse in yourself, that the image can root as worship. It's the fantasy that gives you the sense of glory and worth comes from excessive pleasure or excessive pain, stresses. They're equal stresses. Pleasure and pain are both stresses that will kill you. They go flinging from one to another. So I'm going to tell you this. Believe me when I tell you, women need to be saved from themselves. And when they tempt you, and you're not found wanting, and you're a gentleman, and you know that they're... Look, put it this way. Are you a dad?
No.
Do you have a little... if you had a little girl, and you loved this little girl, would you like every Tom, Dick, and Harry to mess with her? Would you really... Would you want that for that child, or would you be against it?
Against it.
Would you protect her against it?
Yes.
You would, wouldn't you? Well, then you're playing with somebody's daughter that really didn't care for her, that didn't know how to deal with his own wife. And the wife got hold of that little girl and made her into an image of herself because it passes from one woman to another effortlessly. And the boys become contaminated by it the day when they're born, especially when they see their fathers fail. And the little girls, they know there's something wrong with mother, and they're just hoping that dad will see it and not let mother become strong and deal with mother so she doesn't have to deal with her craziness, her manipulation, her lies, her deceit. that all men fail. And all men look for other women. And all women look for other men. And we're in a hell of a mess. And the preachers all lie. But they don't know they're lying because they've been lied to. And therefore, they preach and they make a living. And therefore, because they make a living, they have this intelligence, this knowledge. They have knowledge of the Bible. And everybody looks up to them. And he feels lifted by this knowledge, lifted by the respect of the audience, which he hasn't really helped. They're all addicted to coming to church. But there's no different going to church like that and never get redemption because your problems never go away because Christians and Jews have the same problems everybody else has. No any different. But you should be cured as a Judeo-Christian individual with understanding of salvation. All of you should be cured of all of your problems. Now you can say, what's the matter with you? I'll tell you about that if you come to the seminar. But everybody knows me for over the years. But the new people not. But I'm listening. I shouldn't be alive today. I shouldn't be alive today. I've been through all the things you've been through, haven't been poisoned. And 30 years I've survived. Every one of them grew, knew everything. Now I'm in my last stages now. But if I figure this one out, I should write a paper on it. Because it's something that nobody can cure. See? And it's very risky to even try. And because it always come back again. So I'm okay. I'm not a big deal. Not a big deal. I have it for a reason. So you come. This will be my last talk. I'm not saying I'm going to die or anything. I'm just going to say, I'm getting too old to go out. And you have to come to me at the in Oregon. In Oregon, we have a retreat and a lecture hall, discussion hall. And we're going to have a seminar July 4th. So it's a beautiful. We've refurbished it. Everything is beautiful. New gazebo, everything. There'll be some boats on the lake. There'll be fishing. And then there'll be a seminar. But right now, I need the money. So I also I like to meet people and touch flesh, you know what I mean? Shake hands and have a hug or two and do a little personal help. Call my office, would you? Thank you. Be right back. I'm going to keep he's gone. Is Richard gone? Oh, I want to finish. I wasn't finished with him. And I had one more thing to say, but maybe somebody else will call with the last problem, and I'll tell them the finishing touches. I can't just say something. I have to say a lot of things to lay a foundation for things, you see. So on the radio I do, and especially with this thing called lust, which is very destructive. But the first thing you have to learn is that women do not have the power to save you. See, and especially not through sex or food. Food is a way to contaminate you. Women will contaminate their own children with food, spoil them with food, make them addicted to mothers for this and that. And she doesn't know she's doing it. Men have a different kind of love. Men should have a different kind of love for women. Men's love is not sensual for his children. Women's love is nurturing, seducing, can't help it, inuring the children to them and not the father. Always jealous of the father's strength and the light. Feel that the children are hers, not his. She's more capable. And see, there you are. Call my office tomorrow. 800-877-3227 or the website fhu.com and find out about the seminar in Las Vegas and support me in my work to save this country and you from it. All right.